Chapter 19. The police tape was gone from the display case at Faraday Jewelers, and Douglas was behind the counter when Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen visited the store. It was no coincidence that Douglas was the only one on duty. The ladies had been watching the store for quite some time, waiting for an opportunity to talk to him alone. "Douglas, how are you?" Nans feigned concern. Truth be told, Douglas didn't look so good. He was sweating and he had dark circles under his eyes. Guilt keeping him up at night?
"I'm doing pretty good. I mean, all things considered. Having a hard time with the insurance," Douglas said.
"Oh, they always do try to weasel out of paying," Helen said.
Douglas nodded.
"What can I help you with?"
Ida fiddled around in her purse, pulled out her cell phone, and squinted at it. They'd arranged ahead of time that she'd feign old lady itis, pretending she didn't know how to work the device to cover up that she was really taking a picture of Douglas. They'd take that picture to Jeffrey, and hopefully he'd be able to identify Douglas as the grandson who had brought in the jewelry.
"Well, let me see."
Ida brought the phone up to her face and fumbled around with it a bit before pressing the camera button and then acting surprised when the flash went off.
"Oops, fat-fingered it. I was looking for my list. It's on my phone here."
She snapped off a few more pictures just for good measure.
"There we are. Yes. It's so terrible when you get old and forget things so easily."
Ida looked at Douglas, and he nodded sympathetically.
"Anyway, a dear friend of ours, Eleanor Robinson, passed away recently. And we've heard her grandson brought her jewelry to a jeweler, and we were wondering if you have it. We'd like to buy some pieces as a memento."
Nans had been watching Douglas carefully to see if there was any look of recognition when Ida mentioned Eleanor Robinson, but he didn't even flinch. Douglas pressed his lips together and shook his head.
"No, we don't have any estate jewelry here. Why don't you try Jeffrey's? He takes that sort of thing in."
"Oh, how disappointing," Nan said. "I guess we'll have to go out that way. How are the police coming along with the investigation?"
Nan's nodded toward where the diamond display case had been. The case was still there, but now it was filled with rubies and emeralds. Douglas seemed to deflate. He sat down hard in the chair.
"I'm afraid it's not coming so good. You see, I might have messed up."
A confession so soon? Nans couldn't believe her luck. She remembered how she'd seen Douglas at the police station. Perhaps she wasn't the only one that suspected he had something to do with it. But why was he confessing it to her so readily now?
"Messed up? How?" Helen asked to prod him along. "It was my responsibility to make sure the security system was working properly. But I procrastinated. And by the time I called the security company, Freddie wasn't able to fix it properly because there was a part he needed. And it couldn't be delivered for several days. That's why the camera was still glitching that night."
"Freddie?"
Douglas nodded.
"Yes, Freddie Lang. He works for Lowe's Security, worked, I should say."
"Oh, dear. Poor Freddy," Ruth said. "Now he won't be able to fix it at all."
"I don't think it's any coincidence that Freddy Lang was supposed to fix the security. Do you?"
Nans asked as they hurried to Ruth's giant Oldsmobile. Nans piled into the front next to Ruth. She was taking her life in her hands. Ruth wasn't the best driver. If Nans had had a dollar for every curb Ruth had run over, she'd be a rich woman, not to mention the mailboxes she had mowed down. But since Lexi was busy with the dog show and Ruth was the only one of the ladies with a car, she had no choice.
Hopefully Jack wouldn't give Ruth a ticket for the horrible parking job that was sure to happen when they got to Jeffrey's.
"If it is a coincidence, it's a very strange one. Do you think the two crimes could be related?"
Helen asked.
"It's definitely something to check out."
And the fact that we couldn't find Eleanor Robinson's obituary does not bode well. Nance whipped out her cell phone and sent a text to Jack about the Freddy connection. I know Jack doesn't like it when we meddle, but he may not have discovered this little tidbit, and it won't hurt to keep him informed.
The sooner the killer and thief are caught, the better. Maybe they are even the same person. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's all tied into my K-cup thefts, Helen said.
Ida scoffed. I hardly think the person who killed Freddy and stole the diamonds would also steal K-cups.
You never know. It could be a serial criminal. And besides, coffee is expensive, Helen said. We're still on for setting up the surveillance this afternoon, right, Ruth?
Ruth had her hands glued to the steering wheel at 10 and 2 and was leaning forward, her nose practically pressed into the wheel.
Yep. Mario is going to have his nephew, William, come and help us out.
Hopefully he won't bring his knives, Ida mumbled.
They'd met William under rather disturbing circumstances when they had been innocently peering into some windows at Mario's house. William had taken them for peeping Toms and chased them away by throwing knives into the windowsill. He turned out to be a good kid, but Ida didn't forgive easily.
Helen ignored her and sat back in her seat.
Good. The sooner we find that culprit, the better.
Nance rolled her eyes. Leave it to Helen to prioritize coffee stealing over murder and theft. Ruth did her usual bad parking job, and they all traipsed into Jeffrey's jewelers. Jeffrey seemed pleased to see them.
Did you ladies decide on something?
Well, no. We want you to look at something. We were wondering if this gentleman is Eleanor Robinson's grandson.
Ida held up her cell phone and scrolled through the pictures she'd taken of Douglas. Jeffrey squinted, his face mere centimeters from the screen.
Nope, can't say that he is. The fellow was a little bit younger, with a ruddy complexion.
Darn it. But it seemed as if Jeffrey couldn't see very well. Could he be mistaken?
The door opened and they all turned around to see Jack.
You're double parked out there, Ruth,
Jack said.
Oh, sorry, I'll move it right away.
Ruth hurried outside.
Jack, what brings you here?
Nance asked. Apparently her text had spurred Jack into action.
I think he came here to give Ruth a ticket, Helen said.
Jack glanced out the window.
Not as long as she parks it properly this time.
He grimaced, and they all watched Ruth narrowly miss a streetlight.
Jack turned back from the window.
I'm actually here to talk to Jeffrey about the new estate jewelry he's taken in from this Eleanor Robinson.
Jack glanced at Nance, giving her a slight nod, and she swelled with pride. Jeffrey frowned.
Lots of people seem interested in that. Is there some problem?
I'd like to see the paperwork from that, Jack said. There is some question as to the validity and, well, since a diamond robbery just occurred.
Surely you don't think I had anything to do with that? Why, Jeffrey's Jewelers has been a prominent member of the community for generations.
Jeffrey was practically shaking.
Jack held his hands up. No, I don't think you had anything to do with it. I'm more concerned about the person that brought you the jewelry.
Jeffrey went over to the table of papers and pulled out the same ones he'd shown to Nance and handed them to Jack. Jack perused them, then asked to see the jewelry. Jeffrey pointed to the case.
I've sold a lot of the jewelry already, but this is what's left. Why don't you take it to the police station until this is sorted out? If there's been some shady dealings, I wouldn't feel right selling it anyway.
Jeffrey pulled out his ring of keys, which jangled together as his hand shook.
That's very nice of you. Can I help you with that?
Jack took the keys and opened the case. Meanwhile, outside, Ruth had knocked over a planter full of geraniums and almost hit a Toyota.
Well, it looks like you're busy here. We've got to run.
Nance hurried out of the store before Ruth could do more damage.